Acts chapter 12. And our text for this morning is the verse 13. Acts 12 and verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. There were days of great persecution for the church there in Jerusalem. And of course, when it comes to persecuting God's people and God's church, hell knows no bounds. This we can see from the action of one child of the devil, namely Herod Agrippa the First. He was a grandson of Herod the Great. Herod the Great, who slaughtered all the children of 2 years and younger there in Bethlehem after the birth of the Christ child. And here this Herod walked in his grandfather's footsteps, as we see from verse 1 of Acts 12. Now about that time the king, Herod the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. When Luke records that this Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he just didn't want to trouble the church or annoy the church. No, the word vex, he wanted to vex certain of the church. That word vex means to torment. It also means to oppress or to do harm. Those hands which he stretched forth had blood on them. There was blood in the hands of Herod the king that he stretched forth against the church. The blood of one of the Lord's apostles. For we read in verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And like a mad dog that was thirsty for blood, he planned to stretch forth his hands again and kill, murder another one of the Lord's servants. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then with the days of unleavened bread. And when they apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people and to kill him, of course. So what? What was the church going to do? What could they do? Well, the church of Jerusalem knew what to do. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The church knew what to do. The church knew what to do because the church of Jerusalem was a praying church. When Satan was doing his worst, the church at Jerusalem was doing its best, because the church prayed, and you cannot do anything better than that, and to pray. And the forces of hell has no answer to an army of prayer warriors, men and women who give themselves to prayer, who will battle in prayer and pray without ceasing. True prayer warriors. And prayer was heard and prayer was answered. Even while Peter was being prayed for, God was answering their prayers. Look at verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Often think of Peter. There he is in prison. He knows what the intention of Herod is. He knows what has happened to James. And he's next in line. And yet, what do we find? He's in prison, but he's fast asleep. He's not too troubled. What would you call that? I would call that the peace of God which passeth all understanding. For you look at Peter and you say, how can a man sleep when he's under the threat of death? He's going to be murdered. Well, that's the peace of God. Can't be understood. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Peter was asleep between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. See, God's answering prayer. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. So Peter was fast asleep. The angel had to smite him on the side to waken him up. He was fast asleep. Raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. As the church was praying, God was answering prayer. The angel then brought Peter out to a street in the city, and then departed from him. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Peter's delivered. He's out on the street now. Peter then makes his way to a certain house in the city. And there he went to that house and he sought to gain entrance into that house. And verse 12, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. God answered prayer. And there's Peter knocking at the door. And while they were praying, that knock came to the door. Look at verse 13, or verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where they many were gathered together praying, and as Peter knocked. Where many were gathered together praying, and at the same time, Peter knocked. So they were praying. And as they were praying, the person they were praying for was at the door. He wasn't in the prison. He was outside the door of the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. In many ways, when you think of it, that was the hand of God knocking that door. For had God not answered prayer of the church there in Jerusalem, and those met for prayer in the house of Mary, there would have been no knock at the door. Had God not answered prayer, there would be no knocking at the door. So let us consider here another one of the doors of the Bible. And what teaching we find here at this particular door to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Let us consider first of all the assembly behind the door. Peter's outside. He's knocking at the door. Let us look at the assembly behind the door. Now that God had delivered him out of prison, where would he go? Well, we see that he went to a friend's house. He went to the house of Mary, John Mark's mother. Here we then see, first of all, the place. The place that Peter went to. It was a very special place. Oh yeah, just a regular dwelling house. But it was a very special place, spiritually speaking. This was the house of Mary, the mother of John, his surname was Mark. This Mary was not only the mother of John Mark. This Mary was the sister of Barnabas, friend who befriended Paul, you remember, after his conversion. We know that from Colossians 4 and verse 10. And this same John Mark, Peter, at some stage or another, had led John Mark to Christ. We know that from 1 Peter 5 and verse 13. Because there he refers to Marcus, my son. That is, his son in the faith. John Mark was also involved in the Lord's work and the Lord's service. Look at chapter 12 of Acts again and verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname is Mark. So you look at that place. You look at that particular home. And there in that home, there was Mary, sister of Barnabas. There was Mary, the mother of John Mark. John Mark, who had been led to Christ by Peter. John Mark, who had later gone into the service of the Lord. And in that same house, a prayer meeting was held. This was a very special house. Here was a place that could be described like the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Acts 6, or Romans 16, verse 5, the church that is in their house. And really, when you look at the house of Mary, a church was in her house. Blessed indeed are such dwellings, where evidently Christ is the head of the house. Christ was the head of this house. And so Peter had no fears in making his way to the house of Mary. As well as the place, we notice regarding the assembly behind the door, we notice their purpose. Those who were assembled in that house were there for a very good reason, very special purpose. We are told many were gathered together praying. Verse 12. Here we have, regarding the many who were gathered together praying, we notice the body of prayer warriors. A body of prayer warriors. That is, the body of Christians who came together to pray. Is it interesting that we read in the verse 12, many were gathered together praying? How often are we able to say that? In certain places, in certain churches, many were gathered together praying. Is it not more often that we say, a few were gathered together praying? Well, here in this house, we're told many. There were many prayer warriors. They were gathered together praying. As well as the body of prayer warriors, we notice they were burdened prayer warriors. Why else did they come together? They came together to bring a burden they had to the Lord in prayer. They were obviously burdened for God's servant, namely Peter. They had seen how Herod had killed James, the brother of John. And they, as believers, did not want the same fate to befall Peter. And so, many were gathered together praying. They were burdened. They were burdened for Peter. They were burdened along with the rest of the church. We read there in the verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And so others were praying in other places. And here Mary had a prayer meeting in her house. They were all burdened for Peter. It's not what you do when you're burdened. When we are burdened for souls, we'll pray. And we're burdened for God's work, God's church, we'll pray. And we're burdened for revival, we'll pray. And we're burdened for God to move, we'll cry. We'll pray and cry out with Jacob of old, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. We'll pray. The church in Jerusalem prayed. They prayed for Peter. They were burdened for this man of God. They were gathered together to pray because they had a burden. When you have a burden, you'll pray. As well as the body of prayer warriors, and the burdened prayer warriors, we notice also they were believing prayer warriors. That is, many were gathered together praying. Why? Because they believed in prayer. That's why. We've already noted they were burdened for Peter. They obviously believed that prayer changes things. They prayed because they believed that God would answer their prayers and set the prisoner free. They believed that. Why else would they have gathered together to pray? They were convinced that prayer was not a useless, empty exercise. No, but prayer puts the believer in touch with heaven. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. And the Lord said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Isn't that good? Hear it again. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Evidently, the believers in Jerusalem believed that. And they came into the house of Mary, many of them, because they believed that God answers prayer. Whatever power Herod had, he didn't have the power the church had. The church had the power of prayer. As well as the place and the purpose, we notice also the people. Yes, we're told many were gathered together praying. There's the people. But let us note something here. Let us note regarding the people, let us note the hour. The prayer meeting in Mary's house was not held during the day. No doubt they did pray during the day. And it was not just held in the evening. No. This prayer meeting, when Peter came to the door, it was at the dead of night. It was night. How do I know? Look at verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night. So it was night. And so here was a group of people, and no doubt that prayed during the day, and that prayed in the evening, and here they were still praying in the dead of night, when others in the city had gone to bed and taken their rest. People in the house of Mary were praying. They were wide awake because they were burdened for Peter. And they pray in the dead of night. I've been in those prayer meetings. Prayer meetings that were called, and we met at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. And we prayed till the early hours of the Saturday morning. There's one famous prayer meeting. I wasn't present at it, but I've heard about it often enough. One prayer meeting in the Ravenhill Road in Belfast, Dr. Paisley's old church. Men got together to pray on the Friday night. They prayed all Friday night into Saturday morning. They prayed throughout Saturday. They prayed throughout Saturday night into the Lord's Day morning, when they had to go home and get ready for their morning worship service. Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night into the Lord's Day morning. They prayed during those 2 nights. Those were the days when God was moving in Ulster. It was a little breath of revival. And new churches were springing up throughout the province. Because men prayed not just during the day, but they prayed through the night as well. Of course, the Savior knew what it was to pray at night, to pray all night. Luke 6 and verse 12, we're told he went up into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. God the Son was in fellowship and prayer to God the Father. We notice not only the hour, but notice the harmony. We are told that in Mary's house that night, many were gathered together praying. They were gathered together. They were together. See, there was no room for petty differences. A man's life was under threat. It was a time for the believers in Jerusalem to pull together and to pray together. So it was. And those days, prior to the day of Pentecost, when over 3,000 souls were saved. What was it like? Yes, they were in the upper room, and they were praying, and we're told these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They all continued with one accord. They were united. They were all praying. And those in Mary's house were all praying. You'll notice, not only was there the fellowship, they were focused. Because it says there in the verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. for him. They would have had other prayer meetings in which they would have been praying for other people and for other things. But at this prayer meeting, they were focused. They prayed to God for him. That tells us again just how burdened they were. Such was the prayer meeting there in the house of Mary. There you have the assembly behind the door. That leads us then to consider the astonishment at the door. Often God moves in answer to prayer. He will often surprise us, even with his answer. We'll be surprised when God answers prayer. Isn't that amazing? You look here and you see, first of all, the instance. Those who had gathered in that home to pray obviously believed in prayer and believed God answers prayer. And we notice here the instance that God did answer prayer. After all, hasn't the Lord told us, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not? Well, that's exactly what happened that night. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what happened that night in the house, or at the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Look at the wording in verse 12 and 13. And when he had considered the thing, as Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying, and as Peter knocked at the door. So the people were praying. And while the people were praying, Peter was knocking at the door. You think of it. The people were in the house and they were praying for Peter's release from prison, and lo and behold, he was at the door. He was out of prison and at the door as the people prayed. Yes, there's someone at the door, and it's the very one for whom they were praying. Well, listen to this. God said, and it shall come to pass, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65, verse 24. What an encouragement, believer, this is to all who believe in prayer. Is this not an encouragement to see how God answered prayer for those who were gathered in the house of Mary? That while they prayed, God had answered. He'll do the same for us. We've just quoted those words from Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Things you've never seen before. As well as the instance, we see the inquiry. So they now came to the door as they were praying. We are told a damsel came and hearkened, named Rhoda. Those words came to hearken. Those words mean simply to ask. Who is there? That's what those words mean. So there's Rhoda. She's left the company of people in their house praying. praying, and she's heard the knock. She's responded to the knock at the door, and she comes to the door and she says, "Who is there?" Peter answers. And she recognizes the voice of Peter from the other side of the door. And here we see, first of all, her disbelief. She and the others, which went back in and told them, she and the others didn't believe that such a thing was possible. Well, didn't they say, "You're mad, Rhoda. You're mad. It's not possible." And here is a strange thing. For when the believers gathered together praying, they did so believing God would answer prayer and deliver Peter. After all, that's what the Lord demands when we pray. The Lord taught his disciples regarding prayer, saying, "Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And here, lo and behold, the words are fulfilled. "Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye have them, and ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." Mark 11, verse 24. So there's those gathered in Mary's house. They prayed, believed, and received. They prayed believing. You think of this. They prayed believing. But when they received, they were disbelieving. They didn't think God would answer prayer the way that he did. Sure, we're all the same, aren't we? As well as the disbelief, here you have the difficulty. And here there's something that really, in a sense, would put a smile on your face. Here's the difficulty. What was the difficulty? Peter couldn't get into the house. The difficulty arose not in the Lord getting Peter out of prison, but the difficulty arose for Peter to get into the house. God got Peter out of prison, but here's Peter and he can't get into the house. Indeed, he got out of one door. Because where was he? Whenever the angel came, he was lying sleeping at the door. And the Lord got him out of one door, but Peter couldn't get into another door. He knocked, and there was the difficulty. Following the disbelief, there was the difficulty. Two doors. A door of a prison, and then a door to prayer. But Peter had difficulty entering that door because of the disbelief of those who were there actually praying for him. It's amazing. Paul knew all about such answers to prayer. Now on to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's exactly what happened here. Because the believers in the house of Mary didn't think God would have answered prayer as speedily as he did. They were believers, and then they became disbelievers when God answered prayer. So you have the instance You have the inquiry, then you have the individual. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse 5. And there he was, the one for whom they were praying. There he was, standing outside the door. As he stood there, I have no doubt. Just think of it. Peter's standing outside the door, and he's knocking. And he can hear the people the other side of the door pray. And he possibly heard them pray for Peter. Lord, deliver Peter from prison. And I'm sure Peter, perhaps, as he knocked his head, I'm out here. I'm outside the door. As he heard them pray for him. Doesn't God do wonderful things in answer to prayer? When they eventually opened the door, we're told they were astonished. They were astonished. Of course, they were not the first people to be astonished at the Lord answering prayer. We're all familiar with Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter. He fell ill, and then she died. And Jairus, or the messengers who told Jairus her daughter's death, said, don't bother the master anymore. The Lord said to Jairus, fear not. Only believe. There it is, believe. There it is again. And the Lord went with them to the house, went into the room, put all the sham mourners out. They were weeping and wailing. And then when the Lord told them to go out, he said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. One moment they were weeping and wailing, the next moment they were laughing him to scorn. Their sympathy didn't go very deep. He put them all out. He took the young girl by the hand and lifted her up and gave her life again. You know what that was? That was an answer to prayer. Because we read in Luke 8, verse 56, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Because when Jairus came to the Lord, we're told he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him. Besought, that's the word. Prayer. He prayed. He besought the Lord earnestly to come and heal his daughter. When the Lord did come, he actually raised her up from the dead. And when God answered prayer, when the Lord answered the prayer of Jairus, we're told, they were astonished. Just like those in the house of Mary. Astonished that God answered prayer. Why should we be astonished? Well, that ought to encourage us to pray. And to keep praying. So when God answers prayer, we want to be astonished as well. And we want to be astonished to see how God answers our prayer. We have considered the assembly behind the door. We have seen the astonishment at the door. Now finally we have the announcement before the door. Such was the excitement over prayer being answered in such a wonderful way, and seeing Peter stand there. Peter had quite a job getting them calmed down. He didn't want to draw attention to himself, because there were many enemies in the city of Jerusalem at that time. And so we read then in verse 17, and he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace. You can just see him standing there calming them down. Be quiet. Here we have his deliverance. Notice carefully how he gives the Lord the glory. We read again verse 17. And he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. The Lord did it. Yes, we pray, because God exhorts us to pray. Men are always to pray, not to fib. We're exhorted to pray. The Lord has told us, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. The Lord exhorts us again and again to pray. But when prayer is answered, we don't take any glory. God gets the glory. And that's what Peter emphasized here. Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out. In other words, Peter said, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. So when God answers prayer for us, let us be sure to say, the Lord did it. The Lord got the glory. Turn to Psalm 66. And there in Psalm 66. Verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what the Lord hath done for my soul. Verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Hasn't turned away my prayer. He has had mercy on me. He has answered my prayer. Let us be sure. When God answers our prayers, let us be sure to say, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. That's what Peter was doing here. As well as the deliverance, you see also his desire. Peter wanted the believers to let others know that what had taken place. He wanted others to know what the Lord had done for his soul. He wanted them to tell James, this was the other James, the brother, the half-brother of Christ. James, according to Galatians 2 verse 9, was one of the pillars in the church. He was a leading light in the church, Jerusalem. And here Peter said, let James know. Tell James that he can tell the people in the church what God has done for me and how God has answered prayer and God has delivered me out of prison. That was his desire. There's the announcement at the door, before the door. He makes that announcement. Go and tell James. You know, we saw a great move of the Spirit of God here in Port Hope. Then we keep it to ourselves. I'd be on the phone with Brother James. I'd be telling him, let me tell you, brother, what the Lord has done for us here in Port Hope. I was telling Brother Saunders. And the word would spread around our other churches. That's what Peter wanted. that James would know, and the believers in the church there would be told, and they would be encouraged. God has answered prayer. God has done marvelous things for us. We're off our God. His deliverance, his desire, and then his departure. We read again verse 17, but he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed, went into another place. The plan of Herod had been thwarted, overthrown. Herod couldn't do anything to Peter. As God's people prayed. And Peter went to another place and continued his work for God. Someone said, I believe it was one of the reformers, he said, a man's life is immortal until his work for God is done. His life is immortal until his work is done. And while Peter lay in prison and Herod threatened to kill him, Herod couldn't lay a finger upon him because Peter's work was not done. There's more work to do, and God kept him. Man's life is immortal until his work is done. There's someone at the door. And Rhoda went, and there was Peter, the very man that had been praying for. God, believer, God answers prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer now. Oh dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee for the word. We thank thee for a word that encourages us. Yea, encourages us to pray. Lord, we also want to be like those gathered in the house of Mary, astonished when God answers our prayers. We want to be able to spread the news. Go and tell James and the brethren. Maybe, Lord, be in such a position that when God answers prayer, we'll be going about and telling others what the Lord has done for us. And we'll give him the glory. We'll be able to say, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. Dear Lord, we pray that thou would bless all who leave the congregation, leave the church now, and bless the rest of us, Lord, that remain around the table to remember the Lord's death. The great and wonderful Savior we've been speaking about today. Bless those who must leave. Grant each one traveling mercy. Keep thy hand upon each one. Keep them healthy and well and safe, we pray. In the Savior's name. Amen.